I have no doubt that God's word changes us. I have no doubt. And I'm excited this morning to talk about God's word. And the gist of it is that nobody's from nowhere can be somewhere and somehow be super important for the Lord. I read a story this week. I was reminded from this story that so much of how we judge is the external, instead of looking beyond that and looking at somebody's heart. And that's how God looks. And let me just look at this kind of a funny story with you, but it makes a point. There are three bachelors who were golfing. They all got hit by lightning. Went to heaven, and they asked Peter if there's golf in heaven. And Peter said, "Incredible golf in heaven. Do not hit a duck." They're golfing. One of the bachelors hits a duck. All of a sudden, Peter comes up, says, "You're the guy who hit a duck?" "Yep." Very homely looking girl, attached him to his wrist, said, "This is your wife from now on." The other two kept playing golf. Things were going well. Guy hits a duck. All of a sudden, here comes Peter with another very backwards looking woman. Attaches it to his wrist. It's gone. The other guy's playing golf, things are going good. All of a sudden, a beautiful woman comes up. Peter attaches that woman to his wrist. He said, "Wow, what did I do to get this?" The woman looked up and said, "I hit a duck." And isn't that, it's so true, but it's so sad. Our world judges on the outside, and this is what I love about the Lord. He can use people, and all throughout the Bible, we see that he uses people that maybe not everybody would pick. And this is definitely true in the story. And by the way, if you're new to Hope Church, you can catch up right away next week. We're going through the story. It's a chronological kind of putting the scriptures together, and there's books out there. You can take one. They're $5. 31 weeks, and you're going to understand what the story is, the story of the redeeming grace of God. But we see Saul becoming the first king of Israel, and Israel's going through a tough time. We've talked about the judges. Pastor Kevin did a great job last week, and Israel is in trouble. They lack leadership, and in Judges it says this, "In those days Israel did not have a king. Everyone did what seemed right," or what was right in their own eyes. With our staff, we try to make things clear on Sunday. I say, listen, if there's mist in the pulpit, there's fog in the pew. Don't make confusing announcements. Try to make things easy so people can understand them. Well, what I love about what God is going to do. In 1 Samuel, we find out that there is a nobody from nowhere who becomes somebody. Saul is trying to help his uncle find his lost donkeys. Now think about this. Who's the guy that you send out to find your lost donkeys? A guy named Saul. And this isn't the kind of job. It's like, I don't know if they were saying, "Hey, who wants to go find the lost donkeys?" I'd be going, "Not me. Not me." While Saul is out finding the lost donkeys, he meets a man named Samuel, who is a prophet of the Lord, and he actually is anointed the king of Israel. Wait a minute. This is the donkey wrangler. And he becomes the king. And he is a very good king in the beginning. And then he does something, and really there's only three reasons why leaders fail. They mess with the glory of God. They mess with the girls of God. And they mess with the gold of God. That's where people are going to fall. Any pastor or any leader in the church world, that's where they fall. And Saul says, I'm so obedient to the Lord, and then he wasn't. And listen to what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I'm sorry I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me, and he has refused to obey my command. And so there's a dialogue between the Lord and Samuel goes to find Saul, and we pick up there. When Samuel finally found him, Saul greeted him cheerfully. May the Lord bless you, he said. I have carried out the Lord's command. Well, then what is all the bleating of sheep and goats and the lowing of the cattle I hear? Samuel demanded. It is true that my army spared the best of the sheep, goat, and cattle, Samuel admitted. But they are going to sacrifice them to the Lord your God. We have destroyed everything else. Well, that makes sense. No, we did exactly what God said, and this is how we justify it. Samuel goes on, and the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until every one of them is dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight? But I did obey the Lord, Samuel insisted. I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. Wait a minute. We didn't rush in for all of the great plunder. Yes, we did pick the very best of everything, but we're going to use that for the glory of God. How many times over the 35 years I've heard people saying, oh, I'm praying for this job and then I'll be able to do more for the Lord. Why do you have to wait to do more for the Lord? I don't know. And have you ever done that? God, if you do this, I'll do this. God, if you kind of help me, I'll, and sometimes it all gets confusing. And it's not confusing with the Lord. He said to Saul, this is what I want you to do. Period. Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering that the fat of rams. And then Samuel, this is just so harsh. But Paul isn't an ordinary person. He now is a leader, and people are looking to him. People are looking to him for direction. People are looking to him to see this is what matters to the Lord. And Samuel says, rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness is as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you. Wow. So God lifted him up. He was the donkey wrangler. God lifted him up. God blessed him. But instead of living to the level of how God was blessing him, he decided, I've got an idea. We're being blessed by the Lord, and let's just kind of do it our way. Starting well doesn't mean you're going to finish well. Because Saul started very well. Saul allowed compromise in his life. He was careless. And then as we get a little further into his life, he becomes calloused. Because life wasn't going his way. You see, he rejected what God wanted him to do, and God rejected him. And because God rejected him, he became calloused. And the problem is when I know life gets hard and you can become callous like he did. I know that many times God blesses us and we say, God, we're going to use this for you. And then somehow we don't. And the outcome is the same. Saul, you just lost the best that God has for you. It's like, wow, that's kind of it's sobering, really. God, help you and me to know that our obedience to his voice matters. And that our listening and doing matters. God, help us to be people who are committed to the point that we finish well. A lot of people don't finish well. Because it's hard. And it takes commitment. And it takes struggle. Anything in life that's worth having, really worth having, is hard. It just is. And it's hard to follow the Lord. But what's even harder than following the Lord is suffering the consequences of choosing to become calloused. Or choosing when God says, I want you to do this, like, yeah, I'll get there. That's also hard. Well, God rejects Saul, and maybe you already know what happens next. There's going to be a new king, and his name is David. And you know what? I love the fact that God can use a guy who's out looking for donkeys, and I love the fact that God can use a David, because nobody sees the potential of David. God speaks to Samuel and says, go to Jesse, and one of his sons is going to become the king. Well, Jesse lines up his sons, forgets, I have a son named David. He's out tending the sheep. He forgets somehow about that son. And so Samuel, I think it's this one. Nope. I mean, the Bible says this. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before me. Where's David? Nobody knows. Nobody cares. Except Samuel's like, Lord, is this one, this one, this one, this one? Okay, we got a problem. It's none of these. Is there not anywhere, somewhere, yeah, we forgot. There's this young one. He's not much good for anything. He's out tending the sheep. This is what Jesse, there still is the youngest, Jesse answered. He's tending the sheep. Do you know what I love about this? God picks nobodies to become somebodies. Have you ever felt like you're just not good enough? You're just like, I'm not enough. It's hard. I remember when God, you know, I was in marketing and I had a good job and had a good business career ahead of me, and God said, Jim, I want you to be a pastor. I'm like, no. There's no way I can do that. I don't, you know, and I would see the guys on TV, like they would say God, no, 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 no. I'm like, no. I'm a surf bum. I like that. I'm on a career. God, we're good. Well, then I finally said, okay, God, I want people, I want people to know Jesus, and if you can help me to help people to know Jesus, I'm good. Well, I remember in school, Dr. Heidebreck, I didn't ask maybe like the religiously appropriate questions. Like, you know, the ones that pastors ask. I asked questions that like unpastor people ask. I remember Dr. Heidebreck, she would always get so mad at me. I remember saying, what is your major? For the whole class, I'm like, oh, I'm pastoral ministries major. And she said, you're never going to make it. You will never become a pastor asking questions like that. And I thought, oh, great. Well, I already had a career. Now I've switched to this career, and somebody who I look up to says, you're never going to make it. So I just want you to know that your pastor shouldn't be here. I mean, 35 years of full-time ministry, it shouldn't have happened. Wish Dr. Heidebreck was listening to this. Have you ever been there where you're just like, you know, I'm too beat up. I'm kind of calloused. Have you ever been there? You're like, I've been a little careless. And I'm sure not proud of where I've been and what I've done. You need to hear what we're talking about today. Because God wants to use people who will follow him, who are not the brightest, who are not the sharpest, who are not the this or the that, or whatever the world says, this is super important. I love this verse. It's on page 145, 1 Samuel 16, 7. Here's what it says. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I am telling you, if God can use me, he can use you. But God would have never been able to use me if I had just kept the same career. I wouldn't have been obedient to him. And David didn't have it easy. I mean, not only did his family forget him, he went out when the Israelites were lined up against Goliath and they were terrified. And his dad said, hey, go bring your brothers, you know, some extra food. They're out there fighting. And his brothers just ripped him. Anyone have brothers or sisters? You understand this? You know, just try and do a good thing. What are you doing here? Have you left our father's only sheep? Get out of here. You're a dumb kid and this is for real men. David says, I don't know what you guys are thinking, but my God's bigger than Goliath. You already get it. So he goes to Saul, who is the king, who was careless. And so God is removing him in time. And David is courageous, and he goes to Saul and says, I'm not worried. Do you mind if I go and take care of this, this crazy Goliath? Saul says, you're a kid, but put on my armor and you know, at least you kind of die with my armor on. And I love what the scripture says here. Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and he took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. I can't go in these, he protested to Saul. I'm not used to them. You know, one of the biggest things I've had to learn in my life is that God doesn't want me to be somebody else. He just wants me to be Jim. Well, God, I don't have this. I don't have that. I, I, this is what pastors do, and I don't have any of that, God. Well, Jim, I didn't ask you to have this or have that or have this or have that. I just asked you to be you. Well, God, I'm clearly not enough. And the Lord said, you clearly are enough if you're connected to me. I can take the ordinary and connect it to the supernatural, and then you will see the extraordinary. And I love that David says, hey, Saul, I'm glad you have all this fancy stuff, but it's not me. I mean, teenagers, who the heck are you? You're who God wants you to be. You're super important. But everyone's trying to tell you this is what you are and not your. And sometimes we struggle with our identity. Do you not know the crisis that is going on in our world because of Instagram, because of TikTok, and because of made-up persona? It's terrible. You are important because of you. And the problem is some of us adults never learn this. And so we don't get value in who we are. We get value in what we have. And if I have more than you, I'm more valuable than you. I mean, it's just true. And then we get more and we wonder why we're not happy. Why we're not fulfilled. Because somewhere back there, you got careless. Somewhere back there, you got callous and you didn't get what God had planned. Here's the beautiful thing about God. He'll take you right where you are. And he'll help you to get where he wants you to be. That's the beautiful thing about God. He's not saying, I cut you off. David figured out who he was. It took me a lot of years to figure that out. Now I'm pretty comfortable in my own skin. I still am insecure in areas. On Sundays, I'm like, I don't know. This morning I prayed in my office, God, if you don't show up, I don't really want to show up, because sometimes it flows really well, and then sometimes you're like, no, okay, that's great. Great, God. Have you ever been there? You're like, I don't know. Yeah, and that's what's so beautiful about the Lord. He wants to use us. Here's the other thing I like about David, and you can make up whatever you want to make up with this, but I'll just say it like I see it. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into his shepherd's bag, then armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. You know, David was forgotten by dad, but he was on the backside of the desert doing what? Learning how to survive with those sheep. And he picks up 5 stones. Now, he only needed one. Why did he pick up 5? Here's what I think. He didn't know that the first stone was going to kill him. And he said, I'm going to be prepared for whatever comes. He didn't know if Goliath fell that he wasn't going to be, you know, flinging rocks at other people. And I love that. He's like, I'm determined. I'm going to do what it takes. I'm bringing 5. Well, think about this. Dad forgets him. Brothers are mad. Saul gives him a crummy army. Then he goes out there in front of Goliath. You know, he's like this tall. Goliath is like massive. And then Goliath even makes fun of David. Are you serious? You think I'm a dog? You bring a stick out to me. And David's like, you're talking about my shepherd's staff? No, you're talking about me. Are you calling me a stick? It's not the fight in the dog, it's the dog in the fight. No, how does that go? You know what I'm talking about? It's not the, oh, that's right. It's not the dog in the fight, it's the fight in the dog. Didn't learn that in seminary, but whoa. And you know what David says? You can come out and fight with all the world's weapons. I come in the name of God. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I know one thing. You're done. So Goliath calls him a stick right before David throws a stone through his forehead and Goliath dies. And then I think, oh, it's perfect. It's so good because life now is better for David. He kills the giant. Everyone's like, yeah! Nope. Saul tries to kill him. The guy who said, take my armor. That guy. He tried to kill him several times. What is going on here? Here's what's going on. God's using all of this transition to take David from the pasture to the palace. God is working the Saul out of David. So he will be a king with character, a king with compassion, and a king with conviction. 14 more years. David is having to run with kind of a band of rebels before he is established as king. Can you just for a moment think that David thought, I don't know if anything's going to happen here. I've been faithful and, you know, he's trying to pin me against a wall with a spear. He has his whole army trying to attack me. You know, remember, God, I'm the one. I killed Goliath. All of them were scared. Have you ever had that where you thought, God, what are you doing? Sometimes God's refining us. I believe that God, those who he uses greatly, he also breaks severely. We care about our comfort and God cares about our character. Saul was careless, and then he becomes calloused, and did it work for him? It didn't. There's a lesson we can learn there. And David, what did David do? Because nobody thought he could do anything. David had a faith that went beyond himself, that God, if you're in this, I'm in this. And David listened to the Lord. You see, you can't listen to the Lord if you never talk to the Lord. And I like what Doug said. This actually has changed my life. Literally changed my life. I have an anchor that holds. Whatever life throws at me. Doesn't mean life has always been easy. You know, when our little boy died, I was hating life. There's been times in church that it hasn't been easy. Not right here with you. You're like, wow, are you mad at me? No. But I'm just saying, sometimes it's hard. I did about a month ago, the funeral of one of my very best friends. I mean, life for all of us, it gets hard, right? But there's still a God who can use us. There's still a God who cares about us. But we've got to keep our character moving in the right direction, because it's so easy in this day and age to just get a little careless. And it's so easy when life doesn't go our way to become calloused. And that's why I love what happens here with David. He has courage and he has conviction. And it's worked for him. There's a psalm that reiterates this. It's a really good psalm. Then we're going to wrap things up. It says, he chose his servant David, calling him from the sheep pens. Again, that is not like calling him from being a CFO, calling him from being the CEO. No, David was the one who nobody cared about, but God knew on the backside of the desert he would become a man after his own heart. He took David from tending the ewes and lambs and made him the shepherd of Jacob's descendants, God's own people, Israel. He cared for them with a true heart. We never talk about a true heart today. A pure heart. Those are like old fashioned. But that's the stuff that makes things stick. A pure heart and skillful hands. Hey, by the way, Jesus was another one who was underestimated. Scripture says he was nothing really beautiful to look at. And how many times did someone say, you know why you can cast out a demon? Because you love demonic things. Oh, that's nice. Where are you from? Nothing good comes out of Pineville. I mean, you know, or something. Now, I like Pineville. Now someone's mad at me. Well, you could be mad for other things too. But, you know, they made fun of Jesus. They judged him. Just as David and Jesus went through a time of testing, I think God tests us all. We care about our feelings. God cares about our character. We care about getting what's next, and God cares about keeping us for him. Here's the big idea, and worship team, you can come back up. We're going to sing one more song. God wants to come down, and he wants to be part of your life. Do you get that? God wants to come down. He wants to be part of your life. And here's what he's looking for. He's looking for your heart. Where is your heart? I want to pray for two things today. Do you feel a little calloused? Like maybe you're a little upset at God? Do you feel like, truth be told, I've been a little careless? And I know that some of the things I'm doing, I ought not to be doing. Here's the other thing I want to pray for. Maybe you're the person just like Jim Brewer who said, God, I can't do this. What do I have to offer? If you're thinking that, you probably have a whole lot more to offer than you think you do. And God definitely wants to use you. He wants to use me. Why? Because this world is desperate for somebody who knows the Lord. Because we're not finding answers in ourselves. Our world is in desperate need of like godly leadership. I'm not dogging our government, but there's a lot of craziness going on in the world because we're not serving the Lord. That's just the bottom line. If we were serving the Lord, we would value human life. If we were serving the Lord, we wouldn't have to confuse if you're a male or a female or anything. If we were serving the Lord, we would love one another because we love ourselves. And that all comes from God. All right, let's pray together, then we'll sing this last song. Father, thank you. It's hard to hear what Samuel said about Saul. God's rejected you because you've compromised. God, you didn't want to reject him. You don't want to reject us. You want to be part of our lives. And God, the truth is, he got careless. And he also became calloused. Lord, I pray today. Maybe there's someone here today who's gotten calloused. Maybe they've gotten careless. God, maybe there's someone that you brought here today, or maybe someone's watching Hope at Home, and they really feel like they don't have much to offer. God, you brought them to hear what I'm saying today because they have lots to offer if they continue to breathe. Every breath, Lord, is a gift from you, and it's because you have something for us to do. If any of those things spoke to your heart, maybe I'm being a little careless. Maybe I really don't feel like God could use a me. Maybe I'm just hurting and callous, and I don't know. And you just need God to touch you. You just need God to speak to your heart. I want to pray for you in kind of a private moment between you, me, and the Lord. Would you look up at me and say, Pastor Jim, would you include me in your prayer? Okay. Thank you. Yeah, what an honor for me to be here, to be able to pray with you. Yeah, I love Hope Church so much. You folks are great, and I appreciate being your pastor, no matter what Heidebreck said back there. in class. God can use me today. He can rightly bless you. Father, we come to you. Some of us are broken. Some of us are bitter. Some of us just want to know, God, can you really use me? God, will you help us to back up a moment and say, God, would you speak to us that we might obey what you have to say to us? God, forgive us of our sins. It could be the sin of not even believing that you can use us. It could be the sin that we know that we're committing that we need to get out of before it absolutely ruins our life. God, we've been hurt and it's hard to get over that. We've been wronged. Sometimes we even blame you. God, I pray just with a heart of love for Hope Church. God, I am definitely not the answer, but I know you're the answer, and you've been the answer in my life for all of these years. I pray right now that we would have the faith to believe in you. That, Lord, right now we would confess that thing to you. Right now we would honestly say our own prayer to you. Right now, Lord, we would be open for you to touch our lives. God, I pray with a pure and open heart, Lord, that you would touch these folks here at Hope at Home. God, bless them, keep them. Make your face to radiate about them, Lord. Give them peace. Give us hope in you, Lord. God, take some nobodies and make them somebody, just like you did in the scriptures. Oh, God, thank you. What an honor. What an honor to be here today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's stand together.